Today she is Masecht Chulin Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin at Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the top line Amud Ula. Says Ula Amud Ula Shmoyne Minei Treifas Nemroi LaMoshe MeSinai. There were eight categories of treifa that were said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nekuva is the animal that has a puncture. Psuka is when it's severed. Netula when an organ is removed. Chasura when it's deficient. Krua is when it's clawed. Drusa is when it fell, and the fula is when krua is torn, drusa is clawed, the fula is when it fell, and shvura is when it's broken, when it's fractured. And as the Mefarshim point out, what is the point of what Ula is teaching us? Have we not learned, and we will continue learning in Mitzvah Hashem, that there are many treifas, many different examples of treifas that were given in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that we learned and will learn. So the crazy place, he explains that, yes, we're learning the treifas are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and typically when we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's no disagreement. Yet, as we see, there are many machloikas involved in the Hilchus Treifus. And the question is, why aren't the Treifus a halachal Moshe Mesinai? So Ula, in order to answer this question, says, because the way the Hilchus Treifus were taught wasn't that they were taught as specifics, they were rather taught as broad categories for us to apply those categories. And that's where there's room for Machlokes. Other Mefarshim explained that what Ula is doing is that although we have learned that there are 18 treifas, as we learned in the Braisa, in the Tanna Dabei Rishmol, in the previous shir, Ula is saying that although we have these very many different examples, they all could be broken down into eight categories. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, as we discussed in our previous shir, the Pasuk says, "Abos besada treifa lo." The Torah is very clear in saying that meat that was clawed, animal that was attacked, becomes a treifa. So the question is, why does Ula say that is one of the drusa is included in the halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Isn't it explicit in the Torah? So some mefarshim explain that not all cases of drusa are so obvious that they're included in the category of drusa. Sometimes a diseased organ is also included in the category of drusa. That's what Ula means. Others say that what Ula is coming to teach us is the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah in our previous year, that it makes a difference how it was attacked. As the Mishnah taught us, a small animal is considered a drusa even when it was attacked by a smaller animal. A larger animal has to be attacked by a larger animal in order to be considered a drusa. That's what the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says. Yet other mefarshim I saw explain that the Gemara uses a very interesting terminology, nemra l'moshe m'sinai. Usually, when the Gemara wants to speak about a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the Gemara uses the words halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Here, the Gemara is using the words nemra l'moshe m'sinai. So they explain that the Gemara is actually coming to deal with the issue that we're discussing. That we're saying that it was that we're learning in our that drusa is included in the categories of a treifa, but for a drusa we don't need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And to avoid that question, that's why the Gemara specifically uses the wording of Nemru L'moshe M'sinai to include the drusa, which is a pasuk, and not a halacha L'moshe M'sinai. Furthermore, the Mefarshim discuss that two of the categories that are mentioned seem to be very similar. The category of Netula and Chasura, which both mean that they're missing, aren't they to say what's the difference between Netula and Chasura? The Rambam explains that Netula is that the organ got diseased or was removed by a person. And chasura means that it was missing from when it was born. Others explain that netula is when part of the organ is missing, and chasura means when the entire organ is missing. Says the Gemara, Lefuki Lekusa, Ula mentioned these specific eight categories to exclude when something is diseased. The Rakesh Bar Papa, which Rakesh Bar Papa taught us in our previous year, that a diseased kidney is considered a trefa. Ula will disagree with Rakesh Bar Papa, and he's going to say that it's not a trefa. Says the Gemara, Amachi Barav, Shmaya Trefus Yesh Benekuva. There are eight types of Nekuva, and as Rashi enumerates them, Nekuva Saveshit, Vakrum, Valei, Vahareya, Vakeva, Vadakin, and Rashi says those are seven, and Keres Apnim Vehemsis, Obesakosis, are all considered one category, because as we learned in the previous Gemara, they're both the stomach, and therefore we have eight. Shemayna Trefus Yesh Benekuva, there are eight situations of a Nekuva by an animal that makes a treif. Im Toimer, and if you want to suggest that there are Teisha, that there are nine, Mara Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Ketanala, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that a punctured gallbladder is also a treva. The Tanya, as the Brice indeed says, Nikva Keva, if the stomach has a puncture, Nikva Dakin, if the intestines have a puncture, it's a trefa. And Rabbi Yosef Rehuda Omer, Af Nikva Hamara, also if the gallbladder has a hole, is it included in the category of a trefa? However, says the Gemara, Hilchas Chavar Kazayis Mara for Korkov and Simon, the Gemara quotes the opinion of Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and that a punctured gallbladder does make the animal a trefa. V'omer, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my hadrilei chavrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the people who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and hold that a punctured gallbladder is not a trefa, where do they take their opinion from? So they say it's based on the pasuk that Eov says, Yishboich l'aretz merorasi, my gallbladder is pouring out to the ground. And when Eov made the statement, a dying Eov kayim, Eov was still alive. So we see that a person with a spilled gallbladder can't survive. Amalahem, to which Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, Emaskirim Maisanisim. We can't bring a raya from there because that was a nes. So as Mefarshim explained this Gemara, firstly they make a very interesting point, which we see from here, that what is considered a trefa by a person and what is considered a trefa by an animal is the same. Because otherwise the Gemara could have given a very simple answer. Why are we trying to bring a raya from Eoif to animals? The fact that we see that the Gemara didn't go with that approach, its indication, and we actually had a ride to that in yesterday's shir, where the Gemara compared missing vertebrae by an animal and missing vertebrae by a human being. So we see that the traits of a person and animal are the same, although Tosfos does point out that when it comes to the gulgulus, it comes to the skull, there the traits of a person and an animal are different. So the fact that this was said, that he's missing the mara, isn't it an indication he could live without it? So Mara says it was a nes. Mefarshim, of course, asked the question that maybe the pasuk is only speaking b'loshim melitza. The pasuk is only speaking in a figure of speech, but not that the pasuk should be actually taken literal. So Mefarshim explained that even when the pasuk is trying to describe something as a figure of speech, it always speaks in something which is passable. Something which is not passable, the pasuk would not mention. And when the Torah does speak, the Torah or the pasuk does mention that type of a figure of speech, Chazal immediately point out that it's a lashon, that's exaggerated. Here, the fact that the pasuk uses these words seems to be that it can live that way. The Rashba, we quoted in our previous shiur, the opinion of the Rashba, that the Rashba says that any defect that has been identified in our sugyas as a treifa means that the animal cannot survive with this defect. Not that there's any exception to the rule. And one of the rayas the Rashba brings to his opinion is actually our Gemara. Because the Gemara wants to bring a raya that a diseased, a punctured gallbladder is not a treifa, because clearly Eiv had such a disease. Says the Rashba, if the Mashal and all the others that agree with the Mashal say that a treif is only a situation which is usually that way, but not always that way, what's the raya? Maybe Eiv was from that minority, from that exception that was able to survive even with being a treifa. The fact that the Gemara didn't give that teretz, the Rashba wants to say, is a raya that one that nobody could survive with a treifa defect. But we know that is the opinion of most, as we said in our previous year, that one that under unusual circumstances one can live with a treifa defect. A miut can survive that way. So how will they explain our Gemara? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that it's very much connected to the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't just use the words Vadayin Eoif Chai. The Gemara uses the word Vadayin Eoif Kayim. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, after this story with Eoif where he was tested with all sorts of trials and tribulations and diseases, he lived for another 140 years. Even those opinions that say that a person, can live with a treifa defect certainly agree that that is a diseased person, a diseased animal, and won't be able to have a real long, healthy life. The fact that we see that Eoi was able to survive for 140 years is a clear indication that Eoi is not from those people who are an exception to the rule, but rather that a punctured mara is not a raya. The Mefarshim also point out that the Gemara uses the words e maskir maisa nisim rather than saying nisa shani, because Mefarshim say that we know that the Gemara says that one is not supposed to speak about a nes that happened to a person. Because when a nes happens to a person, there's a concern that actually we're taking away from his chusin. And that's why we find that many nisim that happen in our history are really not mentioned in the Torah. The Torah doesn't dwell on the fact that Avraham Avinu was saved from the Kivshon HaEsh in Ur Kasdim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was born when Yocheved was very old. Nisim that happened to Tzadikim, that one could be concerned will take away from the Schusim, or because the person's a Tzadik, say some of Farshim, so he's treated very differently, are not something that are dwelled on. And says the Gemara, Dilei Tema Hachi, I bring a raya that Eoiv was a person of Nisim. The pasuk says, Yifalech Kalyoisai, he splits my kidneys, V'lo Yachmoil, and doesn't have Rachmanis, Mikoichai. Everybody agrees that a diseased kidney is a treifa. Ella, how did Eoiv survive? Because Nisushani. Because as we find, Hashem said to the Malach, Ach es nafshei shmor, protect that he shouldn't die. And therefore, Eoiv was a person of Nisim, and we can't bring the Rai from Eoiv, Hochanami Nisushani. And the Megala Mukis explains, as Rashi says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach to do something which is very difficult to do. Break the barrel and save the wine inside. Here too, put Eoiv under tremendous pressure, tremendous trials and tribulations and diseases, but he should survive. Why? So Megala Mukas explains that we remember that why indeed was Eoiv, why did Eoiv receive these Yisurim? Because as Rashi quotes in Chumash, the Medrash says, that when Paroi wanted to bring the Tzaros of Klal Yisrael, he consulted with three individuals, Yisroi, Bilam, and Eoiv. Yisroi Shabarach, Yisroi didn't want to participate, he ran away. Zochu, he had the schus that his grand, that his descendants sat in the Sanhedrin, sat in the Lishkas HaGozes. Bilam, who gave Paroi this terrible advice, we all know, as the Torah teaches us in Parashas Balak, what was Bilam's end. He had a terrible death. Eoiv Shesosak, Eoiv that remained silent, needn't be Yisurin, was given Yisurin. But he was specifically only supposed to receive Yisurin, not death. And that's why Eoiv is an exception to the rule, we can't bring a raya from Eoiv. And the Farshim actually go on to explain that the Medrash says, Hu ha-Satan, hu ha-Yetzahara, hu ha-Malach ha-Moves. The Malach ha-Moves and the Yetzahara and the Satan are really all one and the same. And as we know, the entire purpose of the Sefer Eoiv, of all the events that occurred with Eoiv, was to see that Eoiv would remain strong in his Amunah in the face of all of the Tzaros that he encountered. And that's Pshat here. You could either fall into the hands of the Yetzahara, or you could fall into the hands of the Malach HaMoves. Eoiv, who was able to overcome the Yetzahara and the Satan, and did not lose his Amuna, no matter what happened to him, was also able to be saved from the Malach HaMoves. We spoke in our Mishnah about a liver that disintegrates. When does it become a treifa? So says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yochanan and Paskin, that you have to have a kezias of the liver left over for the animal not to be a treifa. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, does Rabbi Yochanan actually hold that way? V'Amar Rabbi Balkana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halach Kestam Mishnah. Rabbi always follows the Halach of a Stam Mishnah. V'tznan, and we're going to learn in a Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalad. Nitla Kovid, v'tznan, we learned Nitla Kovid in the Steinle Klum, that if there's nothing left over, Ha, the Steinle Shera, Afgad like size, which would mean that as long as some of the liver is left over, it should be considered that it's not a treifa. So we follow Stam Mishnah. Why does he say that we need a kezias? And as Mefarshim explained, even though that Mishnah that says that you have to have a kezias is a later Mishnah than our Mishnah, all these Mishnayos in one parak are considered one long Mishnah. And therefore the Gemara's question is that why are we following one opinion over the other opinion? And it says the Gemara, Amaroi Ninovali with Rabbi Yochanan. There's a Machloikis Amaroi, what is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Does Rabbi Yochanan always follow Stam Mishnah or not? In other words, as the Mefarshim explained, if Rabbi Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah, so now when we have two Stam Mishnais, and we don't know which Stam Mishnah to follow, then Rabbi Yochanan should follow the Mochumer de Stam Mishnah. But if we don't have that rule, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a machloikis, and it could be Rabbi Yochanan doesn't always follow the opinion of the Stam Mishnah, if that's the case, then indeed Rabbi Yochanan could hold that even if it's, then Rabbi Yochanan could hold either way, and he isn't obligated to follow the Stam Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Var Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mara Shenikva, if the gallbladder has a hole, the covered Sismasa, and it was covered by the liver, it's kshera. The animal is still kosher. As the Rishonim explained, only in the place where the liver normally covers the gallbladder, so that's a natural covering, that's the way the animal was created, that's why it's considered a legitimate covering, and that the animal will not be considered a treifa. Actually, there's an interesting Pesachei Tshuva that discusses the Mara and discusses how we could determine the kashrus of an animal with a diseased Mara. So he explains that the Mara, we know, the gallbladder has in it bile, which is excreted onto the liver, that the liver shouldn't be overactive. And says the Pesachei Tshuva, the way to determine if the Mara is diseased or not is by tasting the liquid in the gallbladder. If it's bitter, if it's yellow bitter, then it's bile, and that's a proof that the Mara is not diseased. If it's watery, without that bitter taste, without that foul taste, it's a proof that that's a diseased Mara. On the other hand, the Pesachei Tshuva uses this test actually to teach us a leniency as well. If there's a bubble, if there's a bua on the Mara, and we want to determine if that's part of the Mara and it's a diseased Mara or not, he says that we should taste the liquid that's in that bua, that's in that bubble, and see if that liquid is yellowish, so then it's a proof that that bua is part of the Mara. And if that bua, if that bubble has a puncture, as our Gemara is teaching us now, a punctured Mara is a treifa. However, if the liquid in that bua is watery, not foul tasting, so it's clear that that bubble is not part of the Mara, and doesn't make a difference if it has a puncture or not. Furthermore, it's interesting to point out that our Gemara says that we cannot bring a raya from Nisa, from a situation that happened with a nais, to the status of a kashrus of an animal. So there's a discussion if worms were found around the kruma shamayach, around the membrane, around the brain, would that animal be a treifa or not? Most poskim are of the opinion that worms, talas, that are found in such an area do prove that the animal is a treifa. And the question that the poskim ask is that we all recall that the Gemara teaches us regarding titos that he had a worm around his brain that remained there for 7 years. So isn't that a proof that the worms around the brain don't necessarily make the person or the animal into a treifa? So the Paiskim say, in line with what we've been learning in our Gemara, Nisa Shani, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly wanted to punish Titus, and that's why he caused that Yitosh to go in and bother him for all those years, and even though Titus survived, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish him, and we therefore cannot bring a raya from Titus, from what happened there, to a normal situation. Continues the Gemara. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak v'Rabbi Yossi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Nitkev HaKorkevin, the Kishol Italian. And as the Mepharshim explained, we now are speaking about the gizzard of a bird, or in Yiddish it's known as the pipicle, and the way it looks is that it has a thick layer of meat, which is actually the muscle, and under it there are two membranes, a skinny white membrane and a thick yellowish membrane. And as most Rishonim explain, our Gemara is referring to the outside muscle and to this thicker yellow membrane. And says the Gemara, Nikav HaKurkavon, if the Kurkavon is punctured, the Kishol HaKayim, that means the outer muscle is punctured but this yellow membrane is still intact, kosher, the bird is kosher. Ibayluhu, So ask the Gemara, and what will be the halacha if nikev hakis, the kork of unkayim, if the membrane is punctured and the muscle is whole? Toshma, says the Gemara, domer of Nachman, nikev zeb lo zeb, kosher. And unless both of them are punctured, the animal is kosher. However, the Rishonim say that this entire discussion is only if it was punctured because of disease. But if it came punctured because of a thorn or a needle, then the halacha is that even if just one of them is punctured, we have to be concerned about the hole going on to the other one, and the halacha is that then the animal, the bird, will be treif. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Shtei Oiris Yesh Lo Veshit, the Veshit has two layers, Chitzon Edoin, the outer one is red, Upnimi, and the inner layer is Lovin, is white. Nikeb is Zeb Lo Zeb, if one was punctured and the other one wasn't, the halacha is its kosher. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli Lameima, Chitzon Edom Upnimi Lovin, why do you have to point out that this coloring, answer, the specific colors, answered the Gemara, the Cholof Trefa, that if the outer layer was white and the inner layer was red, the animal is Trefa. There are other Rishayim that explain that it doesn't have to necessarily only be if they were interchanged, the colors were interchanged, the outer and the inner. What also the Halacha will be that if the outer one is white, even though the inner one is white as well, or vice versa, if the outer one is red and the inner one is red as well, so either one of them has a discoloration, that would be a trefa as well. Ask the Gemara, Ibayluhu, Nikfu Shneim Zer Shleika Negazamahu, you have holes in both layers, but the holes are not aligned next to each other. What is the halacha? The veshit we just said has these two layers and you have to have a hole in both of them. So he says if there's not a hole, if the two holes are not lined up, it's kosher. But korkovan, when we spoke about the two holes, there it's possible if it doesn't have, even if the two holes are not aligned. Maskula Rav Ashi Adrabba, the argument should be just the opposite. Veshit to Ochlebei, the veshit which is eaten with, Upayaba, and furthermore, the animal makes noise. And as the Mefarshim point out, that even though the noise is not made from the veshit, the noise is made from the kana, still, the veshit does, the kana and the veshit, since they're so close to each other, and since the veshit also takes in ear as it's eating, so it contributes to the noise. So therefore, even if the two holes are not lined up next to each other, Rava Gamdala Apostolei, the hole will constantly expand and they will ultimately line up. And therefore, Zimna the Mahand Bahadi Adabi, these holes will be lined up next to each other. However, Kurkvan, the Menach Nayach, the Kurkvan always stays in the same place. There, if the two holes are not lined up, the Kai Kai will remain as it was and it won't expand. And therefore, says the Gemara, Amle Rav Achmrei Rav Yosef, Rav Ashi, Hocha Amrina Mishmei de Mazutra, the Amr Mishmei, the Rapapa de Kavaseich, indeed, the Halacha, as you said, that by the Jashin, if the two holes are not lined up, it's still a Trefa, but by the Kurkavid, if the two holes are not lined up, then the animal is Kasha. Although, I did see that the Mefarshim point out that even by the Veshit, they were saying that the two holes have to be lined up, they don't have to be lined up, they have to be on the same side. If they're not on the same side of the animal, then they're not going to be a trefa. Furthermore, I saw that the Paiskim want to make a distinction between when the two birds, when the two holes look like a tsere, that's when we have less of a concern versus when the two holes look like a shvap. And in general, the Paiskim want to say that the difference will be that when the two holes are close to each other, then the animal is a treif in the deraisa, whereas when the two holes are not next to each animal, next to each other, the animal will be a treifa, but not a treifa deraisa. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that why did the Gemara use the word pasul versus using the word treifa? They saw a very nice pshat, because now it was saying that the Gemara is referring to holes in the veishit, and we know, as we learned, as we discussed in the previous year in the Mishnah, that when there's holes in the veishit, then the animal is a nevela, it's not just a treifa, and that's why the Gemara over here uses the word pasul rather than using the word treifa. Continues the Gemara, ve'amar Rabba, krum sh'olam matn smaka, if there was a scab on top of a maka, beveshit, on the veshit ain't a krum, it's not considered covered. And as Rashi gives two reasons why a covering of a scab isn't going to be helpful. One is because we have to be concerned that the scab may fall off. And another explanation Rashi gives is because since the scab wasn't there from when the animal was born, so it's not considered part of the animal, and that's why it's a treifa. And as Mefarshim explained, as the Paiskim explained, the difference between these two pshatim is if it wasn't a scab that formed over this wound, but rather a piece of fat came on top of the wound. If the concern is because it's going to fall off, by piece of fat, we need not have that concern. But if the concern is that it wasn't there from the beginning, that would even be an issue by a piece of fat as well. Ve'amarava, veshit ein le'vedika v'chutz el b'fnim. When one wants to inspect the veshit, you only can look at the inner layer, which is the white layer, where there you could tell if it has some red drops of blood. But on the outer layer, which is anyway red, you can't tell. And therefore, the way to look at a veshit is looking at the inner layer and not at the outer layer. Says the Gemara, l'mayin nafkamina. Where do we need to know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the safek drusa. In a situation, which the Gemara will discuss later, where we had a number of animals, small animals, and a lion that we discussed early in our shir, we discussed in the previous shir, which is a dairus, which if the lion attacks those animals, the animals are considered drusos. And here, the Gemara is referring to a situation where we had a number of these animals, all yelling and screaming, and we have a lion in that vicinity. Now, we can't know for sure that it was a drusa, because we didn't see that those animals were attacked. But the circumstantial evidence leads to a concern. And therefore, we have to check all of these animals. And the Gemara is saying that we can't check the outer layer, because the outer layer is red anyway. We have to check the inner layer. Of course, ask the Mefarshim, that we really could only do this, the Rishonim, we could only do this inspection after the animal is slaughtered. But once the animal is slaughtered and we have the place where the cut took place, which is certainly bloody, how can we make that inspection? So because of this question, Tosfos says that we're talking here about a bird that we already learned at the beginning of the previous perek. A bird only requires one siman to be cut. We'll cut the veshit, we'll leave the kana whole, and then we could check the entire kana. That's how Tosfos learns. Other Rishonim, however, disagree, and they say, since we're not talking about a definite issue of treifa, we're only speaking about a suffix treifa, since we're only speaking about a suffix treifa, doing this minimal investigation of just checking as much as we can is enough. Others say that even though, as the Gemara is teaching us, the outer layer of the veshit is a red is a reddish color, still, if it would be diseased, one would be able to tell, and therefore the Gemara is saying this type of inspection is adequate. Says the Gemara, Hahi Safa Drus Dosla Kame de Rabba, there was a Safa Drus that was brought to Rabba, have a Kabodikle Rabba elevation by Avroy, and Rabba checked the outer layer. Omay Abaya, so Abaya asked him, Vamahu the Oma Vesha Enla Medika Elbimfnim, weren't you the one that taught us that the only way to do the inspection on the Vesha is on the inner layer? And as Mepharshim explained, except Sofer explains it this way, that what Abaya said, Abaya did not assume for one moment that Rabba wasn't going to check the inner layer. Well, Abaya was asking Rabba, since the outer layer is red, there's no point in checking the outer layer, so what are you doing it for? So says the Gemara, Apcha Rabba Batkes, Rabba ultimately checked the inner layer, and he discovered Trey Korte the Dama, and he saw that there were two spots of blood on that in the layer, the Tarfa, and he said that the animal was Treif. Ask the Gemara, why did Rabba do this? And as Mepharshim go on to explain, certainly Rabba, who's the one that taught us the halacha that you could only check the inner layer, if it wasn't Rabba that taught us this halacha, so one could possibly suggest that Rabba wasn't aware of this halacha. But now that we're learning that it was actually Rabba who taught us this halacha, so how did he come to make this error? Says the Gemara, Rabba knew that you're only supposed to check the inner layer. What he was doing was, l'chadudi l'abayu boy. He wanted to see if Abaya was sharp, would pick up. And as Mepharshim point out, that Rabba would many times do these kind of things to make sure the way to test his Talmidim, if they remembered what they learned. And as Mepharshim go on to say, they specifically did it in a question and answer manner, because ein adam oimid el divrei Torah elam kein nichshavahem, that specifically when a question is asked and an answer is given, that's a way to make sure that one will remember his learning. Continues the Gemara, Om Ula, Yashav Lakotz Vaveshet, if there was a thorn lodged in the esophagus of an animal, Ein Choshen Shem Hifri, we don't have to be worried that perhaps it was punctured and there was a scab on top of it, and we learned in the previous Gemara that a scab still remains a trace. That's one pshat in Hivri. Another pshat that Rashi suggests in Hivri is not that a Hivri that formed a scab, but Hivri means that we may not be concerned that maybe the thorn penetrated the outer layer of the esophagus. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? According to the first pshat, Ula requires that the outer layer should be examined. Only if the outer layer seems to show that there was no perforation, there was no hole, then we'll be able to eat from this animal. And what Ula is teaching us is, we don't have to be worried once we checked the outer layer, perhaps there are other holes. According to Rashi's second pshat, however, we don't have to be concerned at all that there was any perforation, and therefore no examination at all is required. Doras Katichas Pesach and Tumas Sugi. Ask the Gemara, Ulula, Maishna, Misafik Drusa. We just spoke about it a few minutes ago, about a Safik Drusa, that we have to inspect what's going on. Here we're saying that when there's a Safik, we need not be concerned. And we learned earlier in our Amid, by Safa Drusa, we need be concerned. Answers the Gemara, Kesava Ula, and Chayshon Safa Drusa. Actually, in Ula's opinion is, that when we have a situation of a Safa Drusa, we really don't need to be concerned there either. Ask the Gemara, Umayshon Mishtecha Tichas, Achashon Chaylev, Vachashon Shumen. Why are we not concerned? When we learned the halacha is, we discussed in the previous shiur, when there are two pieces of meat, one is kosher and one is not kosher, and a person ate one of those pieces of meat, if he doesn't know which piece of meat he ate, he has to bring a Oshim Talui. So we see that when there's a Safik, he has to bring a carbon. Answers the Gemara. Hasam is Chazik Isura. There, we knew there was one piece of meat that was not kosher. And therefore, there's a real concern. Here, we don't know at all if there was ever an issue. And therefore, we could be more lenient. Ask the Rishonim. But as we discussed when we spoke about an Oshim Talui, there's actually a Machloikis. When is there a Chiv in Oshim Talui? Our Gemara seems to be following the opinion that there's only an obligation to bring an Oshim Talui when you have two pieces of meat. One is kosher and one is not kosher. And therefore, indeed, the Gemara is correct in saying it's Chazik Asura. But what about the situation, asked the Mefarshim, according to the opinion that even if you had one piece of meat, and there's a suffix, if it's kosher or not kosher, you still have to bring a Noshim Tolim. There there's no Ischazik Isura. Answer the Mepharshim, that indeed there's no Ischazik Isura, but there's no Ischazik Hetera either. Whereas here, there's an Ischazik Hetera. Ask the Mepharshim, there is no Ischazik Hetera. Because as we've learned so many times, every animal begins with a Chazaka of Eina Zvucha. So why are we saying over here that it's a Schazik Keterah? So the Mepharshim answer that the Shef Shemaitza answers this question, and he says that there's a Cheskas Aguf that the Veshit is intact. Indeed, the animal doesn't have a Chazaka of Heter. But we're not talking here about the whole animal. We're speaking about the Veshit itself. And the Veshit has a Chazaka that the Veshit is going to typically be healthy. Ask the Gemara, Umayshna Meshoichi Besakin, Menemtsis Beguma. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that if one had a knife that he checked and it was fine, and then after he checked it, he discovered that the knife has a Begima, we have to be concerned that the Begima happened when he cut the back of the animal, when he cut the bone, and it became pogum. So why over here? So we see that we're machmer by a suffix. Why not here as well? Answers the Gemara, Hasam is yadu le'reis v'sakim. There, we have for sure an issue. Because right now we have in front of us a sakim with a pogum, begima. Here, however, we don't know if there's a problem with the bird, with the animal at all. And Rashi points out that the Gemara uses different terminology. There, in the previous piece of Gemara, the Gemara used the word Ischazik Isura, and here the Gemara used the word Ischialov Le'reyosa, because it's not actually identical. In the previous Gemara, we had a Cheskas Isur before the question came up. Here, we started off with a Cheskas Heter, so it's not the same, but right now, Ischialov Le'reyosa, we have a knife with a begima. Ask the Gemara. We know what halacha is, that if there's a safek tumah in reshus hayochid, we say the safek is tumah, because we learn from a saita where they are reglaim ladova shef kinu v'stira, that she's not allowed to live with her husband, and until we could be sure, we can ascertain that she didn't have an adulterous relationship. So we see that when there's a safek with machmer. Says the Gemara, if you're going to bring rayas from tuma, you could bring just the opposite raya. Well, tameich, why don't we say nidmai l'safek tuma reshus rabin? Because as we've learned so many times, since the case of a soita is a situation where it happened in a reshus hayochid, so only in a reshus hayochid are we machmer, not in a reshus rabin, that the soita tar. Ella, you can't bring a raya from tuma. Because halacha hilchsa gemir lebesoita, the special halacha l'moshe m'sinai is what is the halacha by soita, by tuma, that can't be applied to other areas of halacha. Says the Gemara, Yosahu mirabonin kameder of kahana, the Yosef kama nimtzes itma. This, the Thai discussion that we're having about ula is only if it was found without actually being lodged in the veshit. Avu Yosef, if the kites was actually found lodged in the veshit, chayshinen, we have to be concerned that it's treifa. Amalei Rav Kohana, to which Rav Kohana said, loy tzitzulei yoshev itma. Ula was speaking about a case even when it was lodged. Avo Nimtzis, if you just found the thorn there, but and it wasn't lodged in the Veshit at all, says Rav Kahana, we need not be concerned for what Ula says. The Kula Chai V'Briyasa Kites Lachlan. All animals eat kites. And we're going to say that anytime we find a kites by an animal, we need to be concerned it's a treifa, they'll never be a kosher animal. And this question, if we fasten like Rav Kahana or like Ula, the machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch takes a stricter opinion, the Ramah takes a more lenient opinion, and this question comes up to a famous question about geese, that they used to force feed geese because they wanted that the liver should be very big and fat, that was considered a delicacy. It's still considered a delicacy. It's known as foie gras. And the question comes up, when these geese are force fed with all sorts of food, we need to be concerned, and many times we actually discover that that the inner layer of the esophagus may have certain tears in them, but not the outer layer. And the question is how to treat those birds. And most Paiskim, Ashkenazic Paiskim, who follow the opinion of the Ramah, say that since the Ramah says that we follow the opinion of Rav Kahana, and according to Rav Kahana, even if there is a kites on the inner layer, we don't have to be concerned that the animal is a treifa, and we could eat from that goose. Of course, the Paiskim, however, discuss that one needs to be very careful to make sure that the outer layer doesn't have any hole in it, because as we learned earlier in our shiur, if both layers have holes, then the bird is certainly a treifa. On the other hand, the Paiskim suggest that this entire issue, which was a very big halakhic issue in Europe, different communities had very, very strong opinions. In Hungarian communities, the minig was to eat, or was known as gestopt against. In Polish communities, Galician communities, the minig, the Gerichayim, took a very strong position about not being allowed to eat this. It's interesting that I saw tshuva in the Shevet Halevi, who says that this entire discussion perhaps is only when they fed these birds food. They typically fed them corn and grain. But if they liquefy the food, which is the more common practice nowadays, perhaps everybody would agree we need not be concerned. Although the Shevet Halevi says he posed this question to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that those that are careful about not eating this type of food should not eat it, even if it was served, even if it was given liquefied food. Itma says the Mar Torbet Haveshit, the area around the Veshit, the section above the Veshit. Rav Amar Mamashu, Rav says that even if it has a puncture, the smallest puncture, it's treif. Shmuel Amar Baruba, it has to be mostly cut. What is the basis of the machloit? This explains the Gemara. Rav Amar Mashu, Rav says even a small puncture will make it a treifa, because Rav's opinion is the makom shchitahu. That's a place where if you did the shchita there would be kosher, and we learned that the smallest puncture of the veishit makes it into an aveila. The Shmuel Amar Baruba, because la makom shchitahu, it's not a place of shchita, and it's only considered a puncture if it's mostly cut. Ask the Gemara, Hai Niu Turbet Haveishit, what is the area of the Turbet Haveishit? Any place where if you cut it, and the cut widens, but if it's cut, and since the area of that of the veshit itself is soft, so if it's cut, it remains the cut remains and it doesn't spread, that is the veshit itself. So Papa said to them, our Rebbe didn't teach us this way. Who is my Rebbe that I'm referring to? Rabbi Abaya. And he says, if it's a place where the cut remains at as it is, that's still called the area of Turbetz HaVeshit. Veshit Atzmoy, what is the area of the Veshit? Since it's so soft that when it cuts, as the cut contracts or covets, according to him, that is the area of the Veshit itself. Yoina Oma Zeira Mevlata. Yoina, the name of Zeira, said Mevlata, that the area on top of the food pipe, that is the where the food comes in, that is the Turbetz HaVeshit. The Kama, how long does this go? Omer of Avya, Pachs Mesarta, Vada Mechitza. Less than a grain of barley, but more than the length of a grain of wheat. That's one pshat in the Gemara. Another pshat is that Yoina, we're talking about a bird, and the Gemara is distinguishing between this area by an animal and by a bird. Says the Gemara, who tired the Havilel of Nei Rav Ukfa, there was an axe that belonged to the children of Ukfa, the Aschabay Shrit of the Turbetz HaVeshit. They began the Shrit in the area of the Turbetz HaVeshit, and they completed it for the Vesh, in the Veshit. Amar Rava, Remina Lech Chumah the Rav, the Chumah the Shmuel, the Terfinalei. I'm going to follow both the Chumahs of Rav and Shmuel, and say this animal is Treif. Chumah the Rav, I'm going to follow the opinion of Rav that says that the hole in that area is even a mashahu. But ask the Gemara, if we're following Rav's opinion, Rav says it's a makam shchitahu. So if we did shchita there, there's no problem at all. There he says, I'm going to follow Shmuel's opinion, don't allow makam shchitahu. It's not an area where shchita is done. But ask the Gemara, if you're following Shmuel's opinion, then a small hole shouldn't make a difference. Because we just said, Shmuel says, berubai, only if it's mostly cut, is it a treifa. It says, Karav, now for that question, I found the opinion of Rav that said, mashal. Says the Gemara, Igilgal Nosa Matoil Kamed Rav Abba, this sack came to the attention of Abba, Amru Tore Bein Rav Bein Shmuel Shari. This animal is kosher both according to Rav, according to Shmuel. According to Rav, it's kosher because it's an area where shchita could be done. According to Shmuel, it's kosher because it didn't have a large enough hole that should make it a treifa. And therefore, Zila Omer Lelebrei Rav Yosef Bechama, the Lushalim Eitayr Lamari. He has to pay for the axe that he said was treif. So there are two explanations in the Rishonim how to explain this Gemara. We know that the Gemara Masechta Horius teaches us there are two types of mistake that a dying can make. A Tav Shiko Adas, a Tav Dvar Mishnah. So, some Rishonim explain that this was a mistake of Shikol Hadas, and the Loch is that a mistake of Shikol Hadas cannot be reversed, but the Dayan is responsible for his mistake. Other Rishonim say it was a Tav Dvar Mishnah, and the Loch is that a Tav Dvar Mishnah can be reversed, but here, by the time he was going to reverse it, he had already personally fed this meat to the dog, and therefore it cannot be given back. But they point out it's only because he personally served the meat to the dog. Had he not personally served the meat to the dog, even though it was served to the dog based on his erroneous psak, he would not be held responsible. Interesting question that the Shlus Yaakov discusses. What happens if the Rav made a mistake and the Shliach of the Rav, somebody brought a piece of meat to a Rav to ask a Shaila? The Rav passed in the wrong way, and he said that it was treif, or it was bas v'cholof, and the shliach threw it into the garbage. What will be the din of the shliach? Is he treated like the Rav? Is he treated that he's responsible? And the Shlus Yaakov takes the opinion that the shliach is completely innocent, because since he did it based on the erroneous psak of the Rav, even though he wasn't told to throw it in the garbage, but he heard that the Rav said that it's treif, and that's why he disposed of it, the shliach will not be held responsible.